Booker T, 5-time WCW champion. And for all your wrestling news and updates, check out Gerwick.net. And I know you can dig that, sucker.
Monday, August the 25th, 2014. I am Steve Gerwick along with Frank D. Another edition of the Gerwick Report podcast, episode 45. And quickly, let's say what's up to my longtime tag team partner, Frank D.
Hey, Steve, what's going on, man?
What is up today?
What's up today is I checked my email a little while ago here, and I actually got a notice from WWE. Regarding my renewing the WWE Network for $9.99, and I actually deleted it because I thought it was some kind of porno spam because Randy Orton was on the front of it. So I went ahead and tossed it out. And I'm like, I don't need this guy pooping in my inbox or something like that. So I went ahead and did it. I mean, if WWE wants me to really renew my subscription to the WWE Network, they probably would want to send somebody else. You know, put somebody else on there. Put someone on there like a Stephanie McMahon or something in a bikini. And then I'll go ahead and renew. Not Randy Orton looking at me like a perv. But that's just my opinion.
That's right. I think people have to remember that if you signed up for the initial launch of WWE Network, your renewal's coming up here very quickly. I know I got the same email you did a while back. I would think people are going to be reminded here very, very quickly that their initial six-month commitment is up and you can either renew for 6 months or you can go to, what, $12.99 a month and just pay a la carte.
So, right.
So it's decision time for a lot of the wrestling fans out there.
Yeah, it's decision time, and it's funny because just this past Friday, WWE added the Monday Night War documentary, the Monday Night War series, to the network. And it was a pretty good series. I have to give it to you. It was a pretty good show. Pretty good.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that today. That's on the menu for today, but we were just ready to go do the podcast, and you got the email from Randy Orton, and I got the email from Ravon Adamson. As usual, he has his weekly shout-out to us, and if you want a shout-out, tweet us or email us. We'll be happy to give you a shout-out, or if you got some questions for us. And Frank D., I tell you what, when we get Ravon's questions, I always look forward to the emails because it's always a very thought-provoking questions that he comes up with, and he did it again this week. It says, my question is, first question here is, if you were in charge of booking WCW, would you have had Goldberg lose, or would you have kept him undefeated? Personally, I think fans would have turned on him at some point. Now, I remember I talked to Bobby the Brain Heenan. I remember talking to Bobby, and he said, you know, fans were eating up the Goldberg push, the undefeated streak. You know, why defeat him? Keep it going. Just keep it going. Just keep it going. You know, if he's 100-0, make him 200-0. Just keep going because fans were soaking this up. But I think eventually, Frank, he needed to lose at some point. And I always thought, who was the guy for him to lose to? And, of course, with the politics there, you pretty much knew who he was going to lose to. But, you know, personally, Frank, I would have kept that streak going for quite a long time.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking back at Goldberg's push in the WCW, and he was in the ring with a lot of, I would say, lower mid-card guys. I mean, Goldberg in the beginning days of the push was wrestling guys on WCW Saturday night, and he was wrestling guys like, you know, Hugh Morris and Jerry Flynn, people like that. And I think the only reason why the fans would have started to question the credibility of the push and question the credibility of Goldberg is the talent that he was wrestling. If Goldberg had wrestled mid-level, upper mid-card talent, then I think the fans would have not gotten bored with the streak. I think the fans would have continued to support the streak, and they could have kept it going for a while. I think that if he had been in there with some of the top guys, those top guys would have been willing to job to Bill Goldberg, it would have been a different situation. But I you know, if he had been in there with guys like Luger and guys like Diamond Dallas Page, Sting, etc., and he did do some matches with these guys, but I think they might have been funky kind of finishes at the end there with interference to protect Sting or protect DDP. But if he had been in there with guys like that were willing to you know, let their guard down and make a new star, it would have been a completely different outcome. And I think the streak would have continued. But, you know, like you just said there, as far as politics go, in the WCW, we pretty much knew who was going to take that from him, and it was Kevin Nash. And I still, to this day, believe it was the wrong move.
He came in, and he had the impressive streak going, and it would have made sense. You know, he beat the jobbers. He beat all the jobbers. Then you kind of move up to the next level, guys who've had some wins. And then you have the mid-card guys, and then he could probably win the U.S. strap. And he moves up to the guys kind of in between the main event and the mid-card. And then he finally goes on to win the World Heavyweight Championship. I mean, that would have been the perfect booking for that time period. But with all the politics, what's going on backstage, people didn't want to lose to Goldberg. They didn't think he was any good, that he was two or three moves. That was about it. And Kevin Nash had the book at that time. And, you know, they were going to go the direction they were going to go. And there was just too many people saying, I don't want to work with him. I don't want to put him over. And I think that's the reason they went in the direction they did. So to me, really looking back, that streak was doomed. And it's unfortunate, Frank, because I do think if they would have kept that streak going, it really could have meant something to WCW, would have gave them a little momentum. But it fell off tracks pretty quickly, and you see what happened to Bill Goldberg's career.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Goldberg was exposed.
Yep.
Is what happened. Goldberg had the streak to mask him, the streak to pretty much mask his inabilities in the ring. And you know, when they went away with the streak, and Goldberg's mystique was undone. And again, really getting destroyed by NWO, it was done. I mean, the way that Brock Lesnar is booked today as being the beast incarnate, as being the monster, this unstoppable force, that's the way Goldberg should have been built. Okay, Goldberg should have been the guy to take out the entire NWO without a problem. But they, you know, politics there, beat him down, spray paint him, you know, get him with a stun gun. You killed Goldberg's credibility. You killed it, and once the fans saw Goldberg was weak, Goldberg just became any other body on the roster. It was nothing special about Goldberg anymore.
Yeah, Goldberg started looking like Goldberg.
Pretty much. I think Goldberg might have been a little bit better off at one point.
Yeah, I agree with you. Then the second question is, do you think Triple H's reign of terror back between 2003 and 2005 was the worst era in Raw history? I think, really, Frank, when Raw started, it was probably one of the lowest points in the history of Raw. I mean, there were so many dinks and doinks and goons that when I think back to really bad Raw, some of those really early Raws were really bad. So, I mean, between 2003 and 2005, as you were pointing out, we were just talking, they still had a lot of talent. You had Booker T around. You had Batista. And to me, really, I think the early days of Raw were probably the lowest point in the history of the Raw show.
I tend to agree with that. Really, honestly, the early days of Raw were garbage. I mean, I get they were trying to go in a new era, a new direction with you know, the Steiner brothers at the time and Shawn Michaels and Undertaker, Razor Ramon, etc. But a lot of those shows, which you can see on the WWE Network, they were god awful. You know, those shows were garbage. Their show didn't really start to change until Nitro came along, and Nitro was a fresher product. But, you know, I look back at some of those episodes of Nitro, too, and a lot of that crap that was involved in the Dungeon of Doom in 1995. Those were bad episodes of Nitro as well. So you didn't really start to see a change with Monday Night Raw until the NWO angle started, and then you saw WWE trying to get a much more edgier tone with their programming. I think the first time they did that would be, remember the Brian Pillman gun incident with Steve Austin?
Right.
They did that, and it was such a huge backlash from the USA Network when they did that. So that was the first time that they ever actually tried doing anything edgy, and then it followed up with other things, Nation Domination, Austin McMahon, etc. But no, I don't think 2003 and 2005 were bad eras of Raw, not at all. It wasn't, because you got to look at the talent there at the time, RVD, Booker T,
Eddie Guerrero,
Chris Benoit, Edge. Late 2005 is when I think Edge was starting to get that push to the radar superstar. He was going to the next level with his career. So I think you saw also the rise of John Cena on Monday Night Raw as well. And you also had Randy Orton there. You had Batista. So you had a lot of things going on. And just so happens you had Triple H on top is what was going on. But what anybody expect to happen? I mean, what would anybody really expect to happen? You have Triple H there who's married to Stephanie. Of course, Triple H is going to get the ball. And that's exactly what happened. He got the ball. And, you know, some people say it was the worst time in Raw. I think that it was, I do call it the Reign of Terror. But at the same token, the guy was there trying to make Batista.
And this kind of transitions to our next topic here. Also, between that 2003-2005 era that you're talking about, you also had a guy named Kurt Angle on the roster. And we know what happened with Kurt Angle in 2005. He was having all kinds of issues. He went to Vince McMahon. We know the incident in the office where he basically cried, wanted out of his deal. Vince granted it, which is kind of surprising now we think about maybe the Rey Mysterio situation that we'll talk about here shortly. But Vince let Kurt Angle out of his deal, didn't have the 90-day cycle, didn't make him sit out. And, of course, he was the big surprise in September of 2005 for TNA, which, you know, thinking back to that time frame, kind of lit a fire in TNA, and they went right with Kurt Angle, Samoa Joe. But currently, Kurt Angle's contract is coming up here within a couple of months. We know the situation with TNA and their television situation. I mean, they're basically on death's bed at this point. You know, you call them the dead brand, which has been true for so long now. But supposedly, Frank, Kurt Angle did reach out, as you would expect him to do, reach out to the Whip. He reached out to Triple H, and Triple H was pretty lukewarm on wanting Mr. Angle back in the organization. So then he called Vince McMahon, and Vince said, you know, right now, you know, my nose-in-law is in charge, so you have to talk to him. And to me, Frank, with what's going on with WWE, I think it's the product is so stale. I'd like to see Kurt Angle come back and have a little bit of a run. I don't want to bring him back on a full-time basis. We know probably physically after his surgery he can't compete at that level. But I'd still like to see Kurt Angle versus Brock Lesnar again. I know it wouldn't be as good as the first match, but I think it would still be a good match. Obviously, he has some fresh matchups with some of the newer stars in WWE versus Kurt Angle. And to me, if I'm the company, I take Kurt Angle back. Now, I know in talking to you, you would say no to Kurt Angle, and you can kind of illustrate some of the reasons that you would not take Mr. Angle back right now.
It all goes back to the meeting that Kurt Angle had with Vince McMahon in 2005 that got him out of his deal. Kurt Angle, pretty much from you know all reports, basically had a emotional mental breakdown in Mr. McMahon's office and wanted out of his deal. And he got out of his deal. Vince McMahon got him out of his deal. I believe they paid him what was left on his contract. And then the guy shows up at TNA. And he shows up at TNA knowing that he had all these issues, these demons he was dealing with in his personal life. Now, yeah, I mean, he had a big bump for TNA at the time with Samoa Joe that they did. And then, yeah, I enjoyed it. But that was then and this is now. And this is now, and things have changed in WWE since that time frame. We now have Triple H pretty much running talent, as Vince said. And I think there still might be some hostility there for the way Kurt Angle exited the company. He did not leave WWE on good terms. So if I'm WWE and I look at Kurt Angle and I'm looking at all the news, you know, articles about Angle being arrested here and being arrested there and falling asleep on airplanes and whatever the situation may be, I'm going to be very leery about bringing this guy onto the active talent roster. You know, that's just how I feel about it. I mean, is there any money to draw with Kurt Angle in 2014? I don't think so. I mean, Angle is a guy who's, you know, who's spent a lot of time in wrestling. He is a guy who has, you know, had multiple neck surgeries, some surgery here, surgery there. He was just injured. He's injured now. It would be a bad investment, even though, as far as an attraction goes. It would just be bad. You know, it would be a bad deal. I mean, you go out there and wrestle Brock Lesnar, you know it's going to be a hard, stiff situation. And it could be very well the end of Kurt Angle's career if he goes out there and wrestles with Lesnar. It's a different style in WWE as opposed to working at TNA. And I just, you know, I got to agree with Trips on this one. You know, I don't really think that bringing Kurt Angle back is going to be, I mean, who is he going to work with? You're going to bring Angle back and then have to wait a year probably for the return of Daniel Bryan, for him to have a match with Bryan. I mean, there is no Shawn Michaels to work with. You know, there is somebody for Angle. I mean, who's Angle going to go in the ring with? You got Randy Orton. We saw that already. And it wasn't too good. So there's nobody for Angle to really flow with in WWE right now that's going to have a good match. So I would probably say thumbs down to Kurt Angle at this point.
I'd bring him back. I just think WWE's product is so stale, so boring. Remember that, you know, when Kurt Angle talks, people say, you know, how come you're out of wrestling? How come you're not doing wrestling anymore? And I just think the WWE universe would embrace him to come back. A lot of the fans will remember him. Obviously, we've got new fan base that will have to be reeducated to Kurt Angle. I think he would get over with the fans very quickly. I would put him on a limited date. I certainly would not put him back on the road because obviously that would not be a good situation there. What I would do with my contract with him, I'll say, look, you come in, we're going to test you more than we're going to test you for the wellness policy. I want you to be, you know, tested regularly for any substances. And if you mess up, you're gone. Okay, one strike and you're out. We've already been down this road with you. We've seen the arrest. We know what's going on with your situation right now, and you know we don't want a black eye. So you know, one strike and you're gone. If you're agreeable to that, come on into the fold. I'd certainly like to see, as I said, Angle versus Brock Lesnar all over again. Some Survivor Series, Royal Rumble. I'd like to see that. I still think it'd be a good match. I think it'd be. I mean, when I'm thinking like opponents for Brock Lesnar now, and remember, you know, Frank, we talked about this. Is Brock Lesnar is the monster. He just destroyed the five knuckle shuffle. He just destroyed a 20-time world heavyweight champion in John Cena. And I'm a little surprised they're actually doing Brock Lesnar again versus Cena on the next pay-per-view. But who can you say can stop Brock Lesnar? Bring in the Olympic star Kurt Angle, who won an Olympic gold medal with a frickin' broken neck. You build him back up, and I think you got something there.
How old is Kurt Angle now?
Kurt Angle is 43.
Okay. Kurt Angle is 43, and Kurt Angle has a bad knee. Everything on Kurt Angle was bad. When I'm saying it like this. But you got a guy in John Cena who's a big, jacked-up dude. He can't even beat the Beast Incarnate. You mean tell me that Kurt Angle, from his little rinky-dink independent TNA federation, is going to come in, and he...
Nobody knows about him in TNA, though. That's
my point. But still, this guy who's been in the news...
People think he's been out of wrestling for all this many years.
Yeah, I know that, but I know that he hasn't.
Well, you do,
yeah.
But you're the 1 million people that watch TNA.
I don't watch...
What about the rest of the fans?
I don't watch it, but... my thing is that, am I really supposed to believe this guy is going to come in and he can stop Brock Lesnar? I mean,
I understand
professional wrestling, we're supposed to suspend belief, but I can't really suspend it that damn much.
Well, who do they have on their roster that you think could beat Brock Lesnar? Who's a bigger star than Kurt Angle, the Olympic hero, on their roster? Randy Orton? He's not a bigger star than Kurt Angle. John Cena's not a bigger star than Kurt Angle.
No.
Who do you have other than Trips?
You got my...
CM Punk is gone.
Yeah, you got
Daniel Bryan's hurt. Who do you have?
Yeah, you know, you have my arm twisted on that one. I have to admit that one, and that's the damn problem, that they've made nobody that could go up against Lesnar that you would have to go back to a Kurt Angle.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, Frank, I'd say, look, we're going to test you. We're going to test you regularly, and if you mess up, you're gone. And if you're agreeable to that, we've got a deal. If you're not, then I guess you sit home. And I would think Kurt has no choice but say, I'm going to play ball with these guys. And like I said, I think he's a fresh face in WWE now. Here, he's been gone for 9 years. There's certainly fresh matchups you can have with him. He can obviously rekindle some old feuds as well. I just think he is too good of a talent to pass up at this point, especially they've not made stars. We're going to talk about it right here. I mean, they're basically giving up the ball on Bo Dallas. They're basically giving up the ball on Adam Rose. You know, two stars who really didn't click, didn't get over. These are kind of the new guys they're trying to make. They didn't work. Okay, they didn't work, so let's bring in Kurt Angle now with somebody who will work. And I understand, you know, he's not Kurt Angle 2005, but Kurt Angle in 2014 is still a lot better than many of the guys you have in WWE right now.
Yeah, I mean, okay, from that standpoint, I'll agree with you on that. I mean, but who the hell actually thought, really, honestly, who thought that Adam Rose and Bo Dallas was going to work on TV?
Well, obviously Triple H, he's the man in charge.
Okay, then yeah, okay.
He's the head of talent. It's his ball then, right?
Well, that's what Vince McMahon says. But at the end of the day, we know who's pulling it here. I don't know why anybody would have thought that Bo Dallas would work. That gimmick he does is lame.
It's lame. It really
is. Bo leaves. That sucks. Really? That's what passes for entertainment these days. That's garbage. Just like Adam Rose is. Garbage. I don't know what Adam Rose is supposed to be. I'm gonna be honest with you. I've never seen one of this guy's matches. His whole look threw me off. So Vince got bored. It's like Vince got bored with Paige, and I can understand why. I mean, Paige to me has been I don't know what to say about her at this point. I mean, I heard so much stuff about her in NXT. I watched the match that she had with Emma, and it was okay. And then you bring her up to the main roster, and it's just been a complete cluster ever since then. And I don't give a damn if she's a heel or not at this point. I can care less. It's just, she's just not my cup of tea.
You know, I can sit here and blame Triple H for Adam Rose, and I can blame him for Bo Dallas, etc. To me, it's just the way they handle talent at this point, the younger talent. And we debated this a few podcasts ago. I mean, we kicked it around that, you know, when Jim Ross was in charge of talent, they had a developmental system that you had basically a single A, double A, triple A level like they do in baseball, where you bring somebody up at the rookie A level like Rick Bassman's group, and they move up till they get to triple A, and you're at Ohio Valley Wrestling. You're kind of on the cusp of going on to the big main roster. And the way they do things now is just, it's not a good system at all. And I don't understand Vince's, I mean, it's all on Vince now to make the new stars.
Right.
He doesn't want TNA talent. He could have had Christopher Daniels over the years. He could have had AJ Styles over the years. He could have had Bobby Roode and et cetera. He doesn't want this talent. Okay, then you have to make your own talent. And, you know, he hit something with the Shield. That's great. Roman Reigns really wasn't much before he got to WWE. But, I mean, I think you're going to see more and more situations like Bo Dallas, like Adam Rose, with the style they're currently doing, the system they currently have. And you were just talking, you know, before we did this podcast as well, is somebody like Kevin Steen. Okay, he's the next guy. He's a hot star right now. He just came from ROH. What is he going to mean to WWE television? What is Prince Devitt going to mean to WWE television? These guys obviously have a lot of talent, and if they booked right, they could make money, but do we have confidence in WWE to make them big stars? Kenta could be a huge star in WWE. Will they give him the ball, and will he be able to run with it? I don't know. I have my doubts about all three of those guys, Frank. It's the system that they run. I mean, they could make big stars out of these guys, but that's not their mentality currently in WWE.
No, and the reason why they sign these guys, you know, and people out there can agree with me or disagree with me. I don't really care. The reason why they signed them is because they were hot names in the independent circuit. That's the reason why they signed Daniel Bryan back in 2010. That's the reason why they got CM Punk back in the day. They were hot talents in the indies. Now, these are three of the biggest stars right now that's out there that are under the WWE NXT banner, okay? And when I look at Kevin Steen, I say, yeah, okay, Kevin Steen's had some pretty good matches over in Ring of Honor. He had a lot of good matches with El Generico. But what is Kevin Steen going to really do in WWE? I don't see it. I don't see it happening. I think his look is not what they are accustomed to. If they were accustomed to a look like him, then they would have got Samoa Joe back in the day. And how many times did they pass on Joe? I mean, Bray,
another name they passed on. Yeah.
Exactly. Look at Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt went down there and you know, when he was Husky Harris, they were going to fire the guy because of his weight. Took him off TV. But he went down there and recreated himself into what he is now. And he got over. And that's the only reason why he's there. But a guy like Kevin Steen, I'm sorry. I don't see it working in WWE. I just don't. I know the company. I know how they do things. And it just ain't going to work. He's just not their type. Vince McMahon is going to take one look at this guy when they bring him in to television. He's going to take one look. Here's the deal. Bottom line at the end of the day is this. I know who this guy is. You know who he is, Steve. A lot of wrestling, you know, fans here involved in, you know, Ring of Honor or whatever, they know who Kevin Steen is. Is Kevin Steen necessarily going to mean something to the masses out there, the casual WWE Cena-loving kid out there? No. Not going to happen.
Of those three, he's got the biggest challenge for sure.
Oh, I definitely, yeah. He has the biggest challenge for sure. Because a lot of it also, too, is guys, in my opinion, overrated.
But I would say as well here, I mean, all three of them have big issues to overcome. Kenta is international, doesn't speak Japanese. I mean, he speaks Japanese, doesn't speak English.
Right.
Prince Devitt is a small guy. He's a junior heavyweight. Typically, junior heavyweights don't do well in WWE, though. Certainly, there are exceptions, but on a whole, they don't usually do very well. And, you know, recent years, you've seen CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, smaller guys do well. But, I mean, Vince typically likes the bigger guys, so that he's got that to overcome. And as you said, Kevin Steen has the physique to overcome. I don't know.
But
I have my doubts about Kevin Steen, but I'd love to see him get over in WWE. I think he's a really good guy, and I think it would be, you know, the one thing is, at some point, you got to have something that's different. If everybody's the same, and that's the thing with their developmental system, these guys have their own styles. They go to NXT now, formerly Florida Championship Wrestling, and they learn all the same styles. And that's why you're seeing a lot of the same generic matches in WWE. So it's hard for these guys to get over.
The thing is this, too. You look at the current guys that they're pushing right now on the TV. You got Seth Rollins, you got Dean Ambrose. Those guys are not very big as physique style as well. They're not very big guys. But those are the guys out there that are delivering good matches. Roman Reigns is not that big of a guy. When you look at his stature, he's not that big. So, really, Prince Devitt, you know, like you said, you have to have something that makes you stand out. I think Prince Devitt has that. Prince Devitt has that with the face paint. Okay, that's what makes him stand out. And that's something that he can utilize in WWE if they let him. But I'm just saying, Kevin Steen, hey, maybe the guy will go out there and he'll shock me and he'll actually get over with the crowd. But right now, because of the mentality of WWE and people like Kevin Dunn, I don't see it happening. Look what they did with Chris Hero. The reason they were, I mean, Chris Hero is another talent that was good talent on the indie. They signed him and they signed Cesaro at the same time when they were the Kings of Wrestling. Okay, and Cesaro went. Cesaro is where he is now, but they fired Hero because Hero wasn't doing what he was supposed to do down there in developmental, as far as his the cardio and all that stuff was going. Well, so why wouldn't they cut a guy like Steen? Look how long it actually took for Seth Rollins, Tyler Black to even make it to the main roster.
They're gonna have to go the extra mile. Obviously, they felt like Chris Hero was not going that extra mile.
Right.
So they said, heck with him.
I just don't. It's going to take a lot for Steen to get over. And that's just my opinion. Because the fans are different. ROH fans are different from WWE fans. I don't see it happening. They're going to really have to really push this guy to the moon. And, you know, in WWE, you can be the best wrestler in the world. But if you don't have it on the mic and if you don't get over and make a connection with those fans out there, it ain't going to mean a damn thing. And I can already see Vince McMahon saying, oh, that Steen, look at that body type. I can already see it.
And while we're staying with, you know, WWE talent, we were just talking about Kurt Angle's 2005 episode where he was in Vince's office and he cried and he got out of his deal, which, I mean, in retrospect, it's surprising that he let him out of the deal. I guess, you know, he was really messed up at that time for Vince to let him go. And now on the flip side, you got a situation like with Rey Mysterio where the guy is injured. They extend his contract because he's injured. The guy clearly wants to leave the company, go to AAA. And, Frank, they're doing everything they can to prevent that from happening. I know they probably blew a gasket when Triple Mania featured a video with Rey Mysterio saying that he'll be there eventually. Frank, the guy doesn't want to work for your company anymore. I mean, what does Rey Mysterio have to do? Go to Vince and cry for him to get out of his deal? Just let the guy go.
From the things I've seen on the internet, Rey Mysterio apparently had a handshake agreement with Triple H. As far as, you know, they were not going to extend his contract, and all of a sudden that's what's happened. I don't agree with it. I think that Rey Mysterio has put too much time into his career. You know, from when he was a kid all the way up to WCW, ECW, WWE. The guy is pretty much winding down. He's at the tail end, and he doesn't want to work there. He just doesn't want to work in WWE anymore. Why are you holding this guy hostage? Let him go. He doesn't want to work there. Let him go. That's all you have to do. What is the problem here? Let the guy go. He wants to go to AAA. He wants to go down there. You know, it's right there. Right there in Mexico. He can cross back over to San Diego where he lives. Let the guy go. He doesn't. I mean, why would you have a? Why do you want an unhappy camper working for your company who doesn't want to be there?
And you're not going to do anything with him ever again.
Exactly.
They're not going to bring him back to television. They basically have said that now.
Yeah.
So all they're doing is just preventing him from working for another company. It's not even really in competition with you. They're in Mexico. What are you worried about AAA for?
Sorry.
It's ridiculous. And they're worried about their perception with the Mexican community, with Latinos.
I'm sorry.
And here they are sitting. They're making Ray sit at home. How ridiculous is that?
Exactly. They just did the California loop. Rey Mysterio, they're still doing the California Loop tonight. They're going to be in Anaheim for Monday Night Raw. Tomorrow they're going to be in, I believe they're going to be in Ontario for a SmackDown taping. They were just in Bakersfield last night, which is a heavy Latino community. They didn't have Mysterio there on any of those shows. And it's like this, your perception of your race perception these days is very questionable, especially when it comes to dealing with minorities and dealing with, you know, Alberto Del Rio situation. You had a situation now with Rey Mysterio, and then all of a sudden you also have a situation of black wrestlers not being pushed in WWE.
Which we'll talk about next, but real quickly, we'll go back to Del Rio real quick.
Yeah.
I mean, they're worried about their perception with the Latino-Mexican community, right? So they fire Del Rio on the spot, don't investigate the situation. The social media ambassador is fine. They let Del Rio go. Now Rey Mysterio wants to go. He's clearly done with the company. The guy's injured. His contract expires. They extend him only to make him sit at home. And they wonder why they don't have a good relationship right now with the Mexican community, with the Latinos. I mean, can you do much worse than that?
No.
I mean, I just don't understand this mentality right now. The guy doesn't want to work for your company. What does he have to do? Be Kurt Angle and cry?
Right.
I mean, the guy just wants to leave. He wants to work. As you said, he's at the end of his career. He's only got so many matches left. He's only got so much time left on his career. Just let him go to AAA. I just don't – this is just ridiculous to me. And then shame on WWE for this.
Yep.
The guy doesn't want to work for your company. You let Kurt Angle go. Let Rey Mysterio go. This ain't – forget relations and what his nationality is. Just let the guy go. He doesn't want to be there anymore.
Exactly.
And you're talking about, you know, we've talked about in a previous podcast is racism in wrestling. And I got to say this, Frank, because I did watch ROH television over the weekend. The main event was Jay Lethal, the television champion, defending the TV championship against ACH. So here you have two minorities, two African-American wrestlers. Had a great match, and I'm thinking, how often do you see on a wrestling show two black guys main event a show? And not only main event a show, Frank, but they had a tremendous match. Obviously, Jay Lethal won, retained the television champion. You know, a guy I think TNA really missed the boat with. I mean, he was machismo, and he was doing all that great Randy Savage stuff. But here's Ring of Honor. They have Cedric Alexander. They have ACH. Jay Lethal is the television champion. They have another big guy in there, 300-pound guy. They call the Moose right now, who they're pushing. And, you know, you got to give a little hats off today to ROH, who is always a keen eye for talent, and especially the minorities right now.
Right. And I sent a tweet over the weekend in which I said, you know, I give TNA a lot of criticism and a lot of flack, but at least TNA pushes the black man. At least they push black talents. And, I mean, you look at Kenny King, MVP, and the champion Bobby Lashley, who is kind of like being booked right now like Brock Lesnar. At least they'll do that. I don't see that happening over in WWE. I saw which was going to be a faction with Xavier Woods and Big E and Kofi Kingston, which was going to be something different to see Kofi Kingston work heel. And all of a sudden, it's been pushed to the wayside. It's not going to happen.
And obviously, Kenny King came from ROH.
That's right. And then Kenny King was also a part of, at one point, WWE Tough Enough.
That's right.
So,
yep.
I don't see the – this is the reason why I'm kind of like right now really drawing out of the WWE product, because I don't see anybody that I can identify with being pushed on TV. I don't see it.
I think that's a good point. I think that's why a lot of people are alienated from the product now.
What's the mentality here? The mentality is, what do you think? That you think black people and Latinos don't spend money on wrestling?
Well, they think we're all cheapskates in general, don't they?
Well, they do. So. But I mean, honestly, Randy Orton's Caucasian, John Cena's Caucasian. I see a lot of different, you know, guys on there that are being pushed right now, and you'll see one token, which is Mark Henry.
Seth Rollins is Caucasian.
Seth Rollins
is
Caucasian. Dean Ambrose, Kane, Triple H, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't see the push for Titus O'Neil. I don't see the push for Big E or Kofi Kingston. Or I don't even like the guy, but I was interested in what they were going to do. Xavier Woods. I don't see it happening. They had something there, and then they dropped it. People, I mean, even Big E sent a tweet out about the faction not happening. I don't get it, man. I really don't understand it. I mean, I look at the other two companies here. One company is on his deathbed. The other one is trying to make an impact, so to speak, with you know, in Ring of Honor. And then you have a WWE, the biggest, you know, player in sports entertainment, and they have no love for the black man. I'm just keeping it real.
Yeah,
you're telling it like it is. They have no love for the black man. They don't. And anybody out there who's saying, oh, well, the WWE gives
Mark this, Henry.
They give you got Mark Henry out there. I don't really consider Mark Henry a black man, to be honest with you. I really don't.
What is Mark Henry?
Mark Henry is what you call a sellout. And he's a sellout because everything, I mean, the guy came out there and said, you know, weeks ago or whatever, that there's no racial issue in WWE. That's the biggest load of BS I ever heard of in my entire life. You tell me that there's not. Mark Henry said that there is no race issue in WWE. He said this in an interview after that guy posted something in that whatever article that guy did online talking about black wrestlers. Mark Henry came out and responded to that and said there's no race issue in WWE.
After he heard Michael Hayes say the N-word?
Exactly.
Nice.
But he said that. That's the reason why I said Mark Henry's not a black man. I don't know what the hell Mark Henry.
Well, people want to bring up Mark Henry got the championship. As you would say, the world championship didn't really mean anything. And on top of it, how long was Mark Henry in the company before he got the belt?
Exactly.
Forever.
Yeah. They gave the belt to Mark Henry because, you know, I use this analogy all the time when I talk to people, and it fits in professional wrestling as well. Mark Henry got the world championship, the second-class citizen championship belt. He got it because there was nobody else to give it to. That is the exact reason why JBL was the WWE champion, because they had nobody else to give the belt to at the time. They had the whole split brand. They had nobody else to give it to. Okay? Same thing right now in WWE. I look at the situation with the black talents, and I look at the situation with everybody else being pushed on TV. How much damn time have you seen The Miz get repackaged? And repackaged. Ugh. And repackaged. But yet Kofi Kingston has been doing the same crap since day one. Same thing. Flying around and that's pretty much it. No type of nothing.
And I'll say this right here, Frank, and this is a little off the topic, but still, ROH is putting on a great television show every week. And I know a lot of people don't get a chance to see it. It's not in their markets. I guess if you're really that frustrated and you don't want to do the $9.99 a month, I don't even know what a subscription to ROH's website is. ROHWrestling.com, and check out the weekly television show they're putting out. Of course, they have pay-per-views and other shows there as well. But, I mean, this week, Frank, I saw a great match with Jay Lethal and ACH for the television championship. The Moose was on the show, and it was a good show overall. It wasn't just because there were black guys on the show. I'm saying this. I mean, it was a really good show, and they consistently put on a really good show. So if you're frustrated with what's currently going on with the Whip, and we know what's going on with TNA, and in fact, we should probably mention it right here, with the television situation, not really much new other than we know SmackDown is officially now moving to Thursday night, so we'll see what the competition is with the NFL football coming back this fall. Impact is totally in limbo to me. They are moving, or actually they have moved to Wednesday nights. I guess essentially their TV partner Spike is going to let them continue on for the rest of the year, which helps them build up Bound for Glory. But I've said this already, Frank. Nobody's going to order Bound for Glory. It's an international pay-per-view on a tape delay. Nobody's going to buy this show.
No.
And they don't have anything that's going to make me want to buy. And no disrespect to Bobby Lashley, but they don't have anything on that show I want to buy a pay-per-view for. I'm not going to pay, what, $29.95 or $39.95? They just don't have anything. So it's great that Spike's going to give them a couple extra months to build up Bound for Glory. But in the big scope of things, Frank, it really doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't. I've been saying it here for months now, and it's coming to fruition. And I hate that it came to fruition because it was just a rip when I started saying it. But they are truly the dead brand.
Absolutely. Yep.
They are the dead brand, and it sucks that you know they're going out the way they are, because I look at all the moments that TNA has had over the years, and to be on the last leg of the promotion at this point and not being able to secure a TV deal, it sucks for the wrestlers, and I feel bad for the wrestlers. I feel bad because once again the possibility of another company going under. And it's too bad.
And I guess if there's any update, any news here, is the new spin is that Impact is going to end up on a new network. Now, I don't really buy this. I mean, until I see a deal done, I'm really not going to buy this. And remember, this is the company that when it was broke that Spike TV was no longer going to show Impact or going to end their relationship or end their contract with the company. Immediately, Dixie Carter puts out a tweet that says, hey, we're still in negotiations, and don't believe everything you're reading right now. And it's basically come out that, yeah, maybe they've talked, but there's no serious negotiations going on. Spike TV knows Impact's a lame duck product. They're not interested anymore. As I said, they've spent the money on it. They've pushed it. It's gone nowhere. It's the dead brand, etc. They can make more money running Cops than they can running Impact Wrestling. So what's the point? You know, last podcast we were talking, you brought up the scenario of them possibly buying TNA and, you know, put in their own people. I just think they've had it with TNA. I mean, they've been with TNA for so long. They're doing them a favor, I think, essentially by moving them to Wednesday nights and now letting them stay on to the end of the year. But, Frank, I really believe this new, quote-unquote, new network out there is probably an illusion. I think they're just spinning it as they were spinning the cancellation, saying, oh, hey, we're still in negotiations. I mean, so many of these television networks are owned by the same companies. Viacom owns a bunch of them, NBC Universal, through Comcast owns a bunch of them, Fox owns a lot of these networks. Frank, I just don't see them going anywhere right now.
Yeah, I don't either. They're talking about going to another network or whatever, and, the problem with that is that if that was the case, then they would have already announced it. They would already be touting the fact that we're moving to another network, and I just think that they're on their last leg, and they just the company has lost so many of the top stars, and so many people went out of there, and it's just the demise is here. It's happening, and it's unfortunate. I mean, this is not the 90s in WCW, and you know where WCW can pull off a show with New Japan. I don't know. It's just a bad time in wrestling in general. If wrestling was hot. If the wrestling business was hot, then everything would be hot. And I had this debate with somebody on the WWE's YouTube, WWE's Facebook page the other day, their network Facebook page. And someone was talking about the network and talking about how the network is a vehicle used to push NXT, and who cares about them not uploading stuff to the vault. And my thing is that if the network was a place for NXT and the new guys were doing so good, then the wrestling business would be hot on fire right now. Networks would be clamoring for wrestling like they did back in the day. And it's just not happening. And you're seeing it right now, evident with TNA, it's not happening. They're not clamoring for wrestling nowadays. Wrestling is like at its low point, the lowest point that it's been. Because my thing is that when WWE is hot, everything else gets hot. And they're not hot right now. And they're not going to be hot ever again. The single biggest thing that happened in the wrestling business that we're continuing to have the problem till this day is the moment that WWE monopolized the business. When they monopolized the business, and this goes back further than WCW. This goes back to when the WWE really killed the territory back in the 80s. When they killed all those territories, and then it was just one left, and that was Crockett, and then Crockett became WCW, and they feuded, and then ECW came along and all that. You don't have that anymore today. And that's the problem in the business. People want a variety that they can choose from, and they don't have that. And they gave TNA a chance, and TNA was around for how long, and TNA didn't deliver to its fans. They tried to be the WWE, the light version, and that didn't work. And they never really had their own identity except for the six-sided ring, and they had a franchise in AJ Styles, and they let him go. There's nothing left in TNA right now. They are at the bottom of the barrel. I've never seen, Steve, a wrestling company outside of WCW where you have so many top guys, and then at the end you have nothing. And that's exactly what is going on right now in TNA.
And, of course, you know, Frank, the joke is the new network for Impact Wrestling will be the WWE Network.
Yeah.
So that's probably where they're going to end up at some point. I mean, not immediately, but
yeah.
I think a very few people really believe. I mean, they're talking that the new network or this new cable company is going to be a smaller one. Well, what difference does it make? They're going to get less viewership, make less money. We're seeing the defection of talent, Bully Ray now. We got ODB's gone. Velvet Sky's kind of distancing herself from the company. I mean, you know, Frank, if they do survive and they do get on another network, who are they going to have left?
I don't know.
Everybody's leaving. Everybody's jumping off the ship right now. I mean, they've let so many people go. It's just a bad situation. As you said, it's the dead brand. What more can you say about it?
It is, and it's unfortunate. You know, it's not something that's going to come out here and brag about a bunch of wrestlers. If it happens, a bunch of wrestlers that have talent being out of work, I don't find it funny at all. I mean, a lot of these people out here that are WWE fans, they want to see the demise of TNA. They think it's funny. Oh God, we're gone here, and it's going to be the same people that are going to be tomorrow complaining about how WWE sucks. But then you don't want to give anything else a chance. And a lot of these people, you know, they didn't give TNA a chance. They never did. I did. And I still, you know, was there supporting the product. But then at a point, it came to a point in time where I'm like, this sucks. And TNA knew they were sucking. But they still continued to do the same thing. Still continued to do the same lame stuff. It's not something to be happy about here at all.
Yeah, remember when everybody wanted WCW to fold?
Right, and then when WCW folded.
Towards the end?
Yeah, when they folded, my gosh, it sucks. The WWE is the only one, the only thing they have now is at the time, it was the WWF. No, that's never a good thing for anybody to go out of business. Why would you want to say, we wish this company would go out of business? These are people's lives here. These are wrestlers' lives, the way that they feed their family. I mean, you know, excuse my language here, but what kind of asshole are you to want to see a company go out of business?
Yeah, people were done with WCW in 2000. Let it go away, let it fold, whatever, or let it be sold and let somebody else run it. And at the end, when you lose WCW and you lose ECW, you had WWF, and it wanted to do what it wanted to do. And then there was no competition for a while, and really TNA never became legitimate competition to WWE, which is sad. They had money, they had television, they had some talent. It's just Frank, it was just run by a jabroni, and they are where they are because of mismanagement. It's not because of the talent. It's not because of the network not giving it a chance. It's not because they didn't spend any money. It just was run by a jabroni.
Right.
That's the bottom line. And it's still run by a jabroni.
Right.
And, you know, if Impact is not going to be sold, and if Bob Carter's not going to fire his daughter, I wouldn't want the company either. Move on. You know, they're in bed with Bellator now, and as you said, you know, we've said it so many times here, they can make more money with cops than what's the point of having wrestling on? So, you know, it's just time to move on. Real quickly, Frank, any thoughts on SmackDown moving to Thursday nights? I know it's kind of a lame duck show. It's not a must-see show. Does it? You think the ratings go up a little bit now they go to Thursday nights?
No. And the reason why is because, you know, the fans have been accustomed to SmackDown being on Friday night. The fans that still watch SmackDown, I'll say it like that, because the only thing I can see about SmackDown going back to Thursday nights is it's, for me, it's a nostalgia thing. Because SmackDown started off on Thursdays. So that's the only thing I can think of as far as SmackDown being back on Thursday nights and all that. It doesn't matter. You know, I said it on Twitter, I believe. WWE new logo. New logo, same bad, crappy product. Doesn't matter. You can switch SmackDown to Tuesday, switch it to Wednesday. Switch it to freaking Saturday or Sunday. It's still going to be the same lame show with the same lame wrestlers, same lame audience. Doesn't matter.
I think the only positive change they could have done was move to Tuesday nights and show it live. But it's still going to be a taped show, so what's the difference?
Well,
you're going to know the results ahead of time.
You know, here's the thing, and this might be a minor. Here's the thing. If they're gonna bring SmackDown back to Thursday nights, or whatever, can we at least get a new stage for the show, a new set, make it look different? I mean, my God, man, you talk about SummerSlam, right? And SummerSlam was a good show, but the stage sucked. It was the Raw set again.
No, Frank, they're cutting budget. They can't spend more budget right now. In fact, they just spent all that money on the logo.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. How about we do this?
And the new belt.
Let's go ahead and go to the storage unit and let's bust out some of those WCW sets. Let's do that because this is ridiculous.
Collected dust.
I mean, a damn WWE. I mean, why not even do what we used to do back in the day? How about we just have two screens, two big video walls on the side, and have a WWE logo up there, and there you go. Because this every single month on the pay-per-views and on Raw, it's just the same stale damn look. I'm just tired of it. There's no creativity anymore in these stages, nothing at all. They got these LED lights and everything, and we can do so much, we can change the graphics. It's a cheap way to go, in my opinion.
I totally agree with you. Yeah, they need to freshen up that show, especially now that they've ended the brand extension, so Raw is Raw, and then you watch SmackDown, it's a lighter version of Raw, so it's not must-see TV. I think the rating will go up a little bit. It's on Thursday night. It's a better night than Friday night. Friday night is usually typically everybody goes out on Friday nights. There's not the audience, television audience goes way down on Friday nights. Probably does a little bit better, but like I said, Frank, to me, if they don't go live, then what's the point?
Right.
Still a tape show. Still the same thing.
Still a tape show. Still the same Big Show Mark Henry match you saw last week. And that's the problem, you know. I be honest with you, Steve. I miss the brand extension. I really do.
Yeah, you know, I do too.
I miss it because if we had the brand extension, we could weed out the crap and just put on the guys that need to be put on there. And that's just the bottom line of the situation. When they cut the brand extension, they started going to these super shows. That was the beginning of the end. Because at least we had one. Yeah. We had the world title on one show. We had the WWE title on the other show. And it kind of really made it, you know, you had really the SmackDown side versus Raw side, but that was just basically their way of doing Nitro versus Raw. But they need to go back. And I've said that many times since we've been doing this podcast that they need to bring back the brand extension. I would totally be open to seeing that.
I mean, why not? At this point, I mean, the product is so stale. At least maybe you could. I mean, the idea of the brand extension originally was to make some new stars, right?
Right.
Television time for guys who would ordinarily get television time. I mean, Frank, with 3 hours of Raw and 2 hours of SmackDown, they're having trouble making stars?
Right.
I mean, if you would go back to the brand extension, you'd have more time for some of the undercard guys. The NXT guys could come up. The Ascension could come up. maybe get some television time, you could push them, but I don't know.
Exactly. Where is the Ascension? Where is the Ascension, by the way? I mean, I've been saying up here for months. We need a new tag team, and I can't believe I'm even saying this. This shows you how just a lame duck this product is right now. I'm up here saying we need a new tag team, and not saying tag teams. We need a new tag team, Steve, to face the Usos.
We do.
Why not? Why didn't they give the belts to the Wyatt family to begin with?
I don't know.
Why is Ryback?
They could have kept that feud. That could have been a 6 month feud.
It could be. Why is Ryback at this point a tag team jobber? Ryback is. You talk about guys that they've dropped the ball with. I'm going to bring up a couple right now. Ryback, Cesaro. They were building.
You know, Frankie, you were talking about tag teams, yeah. and a name that we could probably throw into the equation here because he suddenly appears to be a free agent from TNA. Is a guy like Bully Ray. Do you bring Bully Ray back with D-Von, and suddenly you got a feud with Usos versus the Dudley Boys?
Right. Bring it up.
Or do you just say, you know, Bully Ray, no, he's 40-some years old, he's overweight, although he's lost some weight, and he's at the end of his career, and, you know, Trips handles talent, and he's not a big fan of his, and we'll just say goodbye to him.
Right.
Which is probably the case, but we'll see. I don't know, Frank, if you're Trips... Do you take Bully Ray?
If I take Bully Ray, it's going to be in a situation of a attraction deal where you come in, but you're coming in as part of the Dudley Boys. And you're just there to put over the younger talent, the younger tag teams. That's the reason why I would bring him in. Other than that, as far as Bully Ray, as far as a singles wrestler, no. There's nothing there for him to do. This WWE now is a young man's game, and Bully Ray is 43. So no,
that's a good point with putting the younger stars over. Going back to Kurt Angle, that'd be part of my deal with Kurt Angle as well. You come back, you drug test, and you're putting over the talent.
Yep.
I'm not giving you the belt. So if, you know, those are the conditions with Kurt Angle. I mean, it's classic example with Chris Jericho. He comes back, he puts over the talent.
Right.
If you're willing to do that, you have value to the company. If you think you're Kurt Angle and you're the biggest star in wrestling and you deserve the belt, well, then you can go home. Then I'm not interested in you right now.
All right. And I mean, what do you do with Bully Ray? Make Bully Ray an agent. I mean, I'll give the guy the devil his due. I mean, I understand Team 3D has had a very successful wrestling academy. Okay, use him for that.
Well, I'll tell you what, with the lack of tag teams, I'd like to see Bully Ray and D-Von show up and feud with the Usos.
Oh, yeah, we'll see it. We'll see it. We'll probably see him. We'll probably see the Hardy Boys. We'll probably see a lot of these guys come back. Because other than that, WWE has nothing.
The Hardy Boys and the Whip again?
I can see it. I can see that. Hmm. I can see WWE. I can see Trips bringing in a Jeff Hardy more than he would a triple, more than he would a Kurt Angle. I can tell you that much.
Possibly. Yeah. It's if they put some emphasis on the tag team division. If they don't, then those guys don't have much value to the company.
Right. I mean,
because I would agree. I think Bully Ray's greatest value is still as a tag team.
I would if I was to bring him in, most definitely I would bring him in as part of W Boys, big attraction, and I'll bring him in there. And you talk about Jeff Hardy maybe coming back in there as well. Maybe Jeff and Matt. Okay, who do you have Jeff Hardy feud with? Huh? You have Jeff Hardy probably do something with Seth Rollins.
I like that idea.
Or Dean Ambrose.
Maybe the Dudleys come back and get into the WWE Hall of Fame instead of the TNA Hall of Fame.
Well, yeah, I mean, here's the thing. One gives you a ring. The other one's going to probably give you a plaque that, like Paul Orndorff, is $35. And that'll be it.
A pat on the back and a dinner.
Exactly.
That's what you get. So.
But that's the only reason.
Well, let's talk about the Monday Night Wars. I know you saw the episode that aired. I believe this is the episode that aired during the free preview in July that was never archived, and they finally officially debuted it, I guess, last week. If it's the same episode that I saw, was the history, the back story of, you know, basically WWF getting kind of stale with primetime wrestling, moving into a new direction, into primetime with a live show, Raw, or actually would have been, live every couple weeks. They'd tape an episode. And then the backstory with WCW coming from the Crockett's, and it was basically a Southern wrestling promotion, and Eric Bischoff convincing the Turner brass that he needs to compete with Vince, and can he have a primetime show, and they put him on Monday nights. And then, of course, the big caveat there was that they were secretly negotiating with Lex Luger. There was a little loophole there where his contract would expire the night before, and they keep Lex Luger's story a secret, and Lex Luger debuts on the first episode of Nitro. So I saw Tony Schiavone, I saw Ted Turner, and, you know, really, Frank, that was an excellent way to kick off the series. And, you know, I think they have something there. They have a lot of footage that we've never seen before, so they put it all together. This could be a really good series.
Oh, yeah. I think the WWE has done some tremendous things in the past few months. I mean, it all really started with the Ultimate Warrior documentary they put together shortly after his death. I thought that was one of the best productions I've seen in a long time. And then I'm hearing so much right now with the Paul Heyman DVD. They're saying that's a pretty good production. And all of a sudden now, you know, I got a chance to finally see the Monday Night War documentary, or episode one, I should say, of the series. And I thought it was very, very interesting. And it seems to me that WWE is kind of, they're kind of telling the truth. They're keeping it. They're not, you know, the Monday Night War DVD that came out years ago, I thought that kind of story was one-sided, and it favored WWE. But in this show here, I think that they're kind of keeping it neutral. You know, they're kind of keeping it. They're telling the truth, and they're telling this one this time around. Because on that Monday Night War DVD, I thought they made themselves out to be a welfare case. I really did. Like, we're broke, and you know this and that. And, you know, but this one here, they did a good job, and having the Ted Turner interview on there, because we've never really heard anything, Steve, from Ted Turner, as far as anything goes. And it would have been, I mean, this is a thing that makes you, I mean, you have Harvey Schiller on there, you got Tony Schiavone on there talking, and Schiller was for them to get Schiller, that's a pretty big deal. I mean, they got him on that Rise and Fall of WCW years ago. So to have him talking on here, and this is a former Turner executive, that's a pretty big deal. But to really make it work, you have to get people like Eric Bischoff involved in the project. And you have to get people like Ted Turner. You have to, I mean, wouldn't it be kind of awesome to get Ted Turner to actually talk on the WWE broadcast about Monday Night War? I mean, you have to, right? I mean, people can say this all they want to, and I, you know, putting personal feelings aside and Turner's, whatever Turner is involved in out there in the real world, I think Turner is a guy who should be inducted into the WWE's Hall of Fame.
Interesting name.
Because here's a guy, if it hadn't have been for him owning these networks, like, you know, let's be honest about it. If it hadn't have been him giving Bischoff 2 hours actually an hour, Nitro was an hour before it became 2 hours. If it wasn't him giving Bischoff that hour for Nitro, who knows where the business would have been. Raw definitely wouldn't have been beefed up. But it was the direct result of Ted Turner wanting to go head-to-head with Vince and really showing Vince that I can kick your ass. And that's exactly what he did. My renewal is coming up for the network. This Monday Night War thing, it actually might have me stay on another 6 months. I've been critical about that the last couple of weeks on here. I'm saying, oh, I don't know if that's going to be enough. I happen to like the documentary. I happen to like it. I think that it shows a lot of stuff there, and it shows a lot of insight, and they're keeping it, you know, as far as like how we do tell it like this, they're kind of telling it like it is. You know?
Okay. I tell you, Frank, we've been critical of the network and we're critical of the product, but when they, as you said, when they want to put on a production like the Ultimate Warrior or the Monday Night Wars, they can put on a production.
Oh, yeah.
And as you said, I think in the past they've made the Monday Night Wars seem like Vince was on his deathbed and WCW was the billionaire company and they were going to kick WWE's butt, and it was like the ultimate big, huge guy versus the real little guy Vince down here, and Vince beat the big bully. And I agree with you. I think the tone of the new series, at least of the first episode, was a little more balanced. And I guess you might as well, Frank. You own WCW now.
Exactly.
So.
What are you gonna? I mean, rewrite history for? The history doesn't need to be rewritten. The history books is always going to show that you won the war. It doesn't matter. I mean, you can go on there and talk about how bad the Raw show was, and they admitted how bad it was. They said it became formulaic, with the primetime wrestling show. Of taped matches from being shot, and that's what they were playing. That became an issue. So they decided to go with Monday Night Raw, and if they want to be honest about it, and hopefully the next episode they will, that show sucked in the early days. I mean, you got Doink the Clown, Dink the Clown running around there. You had, Men on the Mission. You had all this different crap that I didn't particularly care for. It was just too colorful. And if they want to be honest about it, I mean, they always talk about the Dungeon of Doom and how bad that angle was in WWE. And it was horrible TV. That was stupid. But WWE was doing some stupid stuff. They both were doing stupid things at the same time. The only innovative wrestling company that was going on at the time, see, was ECW.
True. You're right.
So, they were both doing stupid things. I'm telling you, this whole thing didn't change until when people really started to pay attention to the war and really realized that it was a war, okay? First shot was fired when Nitro debuted and they had Lex Luger. Okay, and then they trade victories throughout the rest of the year. Really, people did not start paying attention to how big this thing had gotten between Raw and Nitro until Scott Hall showed up on Nitro. That's when it started. That's where they lit the fuse on sports entertainment. It's those two things right there, and forever changed the business when Hall came down the aisle and said, "You want a war, you're going to get a war." That's what started. Combined with Kevin Nash showing up, combined with Hulk Hogan turning heel, they had it right there. That's what did it. And if it hadn't been for those things happening, and here's a guy in Vince McMahon saying on there, he thought that Hogan's career had went as far as it was going to go in WWE and as far as it was going to go in sports entertainment, he thought it was done. So did he. So he thought the same thing about Macho Man. It came out to bite him in the butt.
Sure did.
And also what came to bite him also, as they said on there as well, is I thought it was kind of funny. He says that, they did those Billionaire Ted wrestling war room skits. And I don't like the Miz, but Miz made a perfect point. He said, you know what? They're making WWE is now making fun of WWE. They're making fun of Hogan. They're making fun of Savage. Why are they doing that? Let me go over and check out WCW to see if this is what's really going on. Oh, it's not going on. Hogan still looks amazing. Savage still looks amazing. They can go out. They're still out there working. What is WWE talking about? They're in trouble.
Totally agree. And I was telling you, I think a few podcasts ago when you were kind of saying, I think I'm done with the network.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not going to renew all. I said, that Monday Night War show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you said it. Yeah, I have to admit that. You said it. And damn it, you were right.
Well, I guess the thing was you didn't see the preview because you missed it, and they only showed it one time on the network for the preview.
Oh, yeah.
But I saw it, and I said, yeah, I think Frank D is going to really like this show. And
yeah, you did.
It probably is something that's going to get people to stay with the network because it is a good show.
Yeah, and on top of that, too, they're going to be, from what I've been hearing lately, they're about to start launching probably as soon as this wraps up, the Monday Night War series wraps up, they're going to start airing full episodes of WCW Nitro on the network as well. So right now, Raw has stopped. The 1995 Raws on the network have stopped. They haven't been updated. And I think they're going to update them as soon as they start Nitro. That first Nitro that they aired on September 4th, 1995, Raw was preempted that night. So Raw would actually come back the next week. So then I guess really on the network, we're going to go back through like they used to do a few years ago on WWE 24/7, and then what became Classics on Demand, we're going to actually have the two shows going back-to-back against each other, which I think that's actually going to be kind of cool.
I agree.
A lot of that stuff, a lot of the early days, hey, man, at the time, I was a kid. I was 12 years old. We couldn't afford cable. I came in on kind of the – I got cable in September of 96. So it was a few months after NWO had formed. It's when I came on and I started to watch Nitro and seeing what was going on. So I didn't see a lot of those 95 shows except what I've seen on YouTube. And I can't wait to go back and actually, say, this show was better or that show was better. So that's what the network is supposed to be about. Yep.
Exactly.
The nostalgia of it. Yep. It's supposed to be about that. Some people, this guy was like, well, it was supposed to be a network. It's supposed to be a vehicle for NXT. Dude, please.
That's what they want you to believe.
Right.
But, I mean, we don't want to see superstars. We don't want to see main event. We don't want to see NXT.
Oh, yes, we do.
I don't want.
We do want to see superstars.
I don't
want to. From the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we don't want to see Raw previews, post-show, SmackDown pre-shows, post-shows, etc. We want to see, as you said, the classic 80s WWE superstars. We've got Saturday night's main event. Okay, Shotgun Saturday night. We've gone to the shows before. Challenge. They have all these in the vault. And, you know, if they start putting them on the network, I think they'll start clicking. I think that's what nostalgia fans want.
Right.
And so far they've been hit and miss so far. But as we go forward and now they're, you know, expanding the international markets, you know, maybe they're starting to click a little bit with that. And I really think this new series is going to grip a lot of fans, especially those fans that grew up watching. And I guess what people have to remember is, I mean, me and you, Frank, we've been watching wrestling for a long time. We remember the 80s. We remember the 90s. We remember the early 2000s. But to a lot of wrestling fans today, they didn't grow up with the Monday Night Wars.
Right.
They didn't grow up in the 80s watching the WWF superstars and seeing Jesse the Body Ventura out there and the Barber series and Jake the Snake's Snake Pit and all those great shows, the Body Shop and the Flower Shop and all those great segments they used to have. And I think people are really going to, when they see that, they say, wow, I mean, that was really, really interesting. That's where Hulk Hogan came from. That's where Randy Savage came from. That's where Roddy Piper became such a huge name in the 80s by being on WWF television. And Mr. T coming in and that whole era that, wow, you look back, you're like, that's really cool. And they have all this footage. It's just, you know, we've been sitting here thinking, you know, when's it going to show up? And maybe now they'll start showing some of that stuff. Although, I don't know, Frank, I really haven't heard anything as far as the classic WWF superstars, the challenge, the Shotgun Saturday Night's main event. Oh, actually, they have Saturday Night's main event, but Shotgun Saturday Night, wrestling challenge, etc. I mean, do you ever think those shows are going to be part of the lineup?
I think eventually they probably will. I just think that they need to really get a census here of what the fans want, and that's how you send those emails and you pick programming that people want to see. And you know, I'd like to see Shotgun Saturday Night come back. Shotgun Saturday Night was a cool show back in the day, and they did it from you know, Penn Station one time, and it was cool, man. I'd like to see that show come back, and I'd like to see them play episodes of Livewire, play those episodes of Primetime Wrestling, you know, back in the day. I'd like to see those, you know, that sort of show. Why the Bobby Heenan show is not on the network is beyond me when they played it on Classics on Demand. So I don't get that. I just think that whoever the programming director is, whoever is in charge of this stuff, doesn't know what the hell they're doing. And now, because the network has launched internationally, you have a lot more eyes, balls glued to the network now. I think we might be seeing some changes coming. And I think that could have been. I think that could have been the entire reason why WWE was slacking to begin with, was because they didn't have the international market yet. In the international market, because now, just like us, you know, us Americans do here in the United States, they have people around the world now watching the network that are complaining about this and that too. So
welcome to the club.
Welcome to the club. Now you see what we've been talking about, especially those fans out in Canada.
I was thinking the Bobby Heenan show was only like 8 episodes or something.
Exactly.
Like
you mean to tell me you can't upload 8? I mean, what did George Barrios say? George Barrios, what? I don't quote me on this, but he said that they had about 40, maybe 40,000 hours of their content digitized, ready to put on the network. So why the hell aren't you not putting it on the network?
Where is it?
Exactly. They have it all ready to go.
Why aren't you the wrestling version of Netflix?
Exactly.
They want to use that comparison.
But,
you know?
But I saw one thing the other day on the network that kind of pissed me off. I was watching the 1993 Royal Rumble, and man, Scott Hall and Bret Hart had a great matchup on that show for the WWE Championship. Really good. But it was the anthology version of the show from the DVD. And they have the WWF censored on there and all that. I'm like, how the? I'm like, you know, where is the master copy of this show? this once again is like, who is putting up these tapes? They don't know what the hell they're doing. Why would you put the anthology version of the show on there? Just, I don't know, just a head scratcher.
Yep. Things that make you go,
Right. People in there right now, there's some fans that are new. They're talking about, yeah, I'm sitting back here watching Road Wild 98 tonight, WCW. But he says, well, why the hell is Raven and Chris Jericho coming out to their WWE themes in 1998 WCW? Join the club.
True.
Join the club, partner.
Yep.
I've tried to ask the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, about this before. And the only thing I got back was it was a complicated issue right now with the music. Well, whatever.
Maybe if you cut him a check, maybe he might answer your question.
Well, I'll give Jimmy Hart $1 to answer my question.
Come on the podcast, Jimmy.
Yeah, come on. I mean, hell, we you know, I tried to get old Dixie Carter to come on here. And she didn't want to come on because she knew about the BS going on as far as with the show. So that could be a reason why she didn't want to come on.
In fairness to Dixie Carter, how could you defend your company right now?
All right.
What could you possibly say to put a positive spin on the company? We have Samuel Shaw. We have Rockstar Spud watch our show.
And it wasn't even going to be about that. If she had came on the podcast and it came on here with Frank D, it wasn't even going to be about that, Steve. It was just going to be about, damn, Dixie, you're a nice MILF. I mean, that's what I was going to be.
Oh, is that what it's
exactly,
all about, right?
Exactly. She's, I mean, come on.
Just going to hit on her a little
exactly.
bit, huh?
Come on, man. Really? You think we're going to come
so
on here and talk about sports entertainment?
Attractive.
Come on.
You're the most beautiful executive in wrestling.
Exactly, besides Stephanie McMahon.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, there's not a lot of women in wrestling.
No, there
right?
isn't.
Well,
but,
yeah,
but I can't.
So
I,
not a lot of
I can't. I mean, my brother was saying the other day, he says, my gosh, who is this? Who is this blonde here? I said, that's Renee Young. Oh, she's hot. I said, dude, you need to get your eyes fixed. She doesn't do it for me. I'm sorry, she doesn't. And she talks with like this damn lisp that she has. I seen it the other day when they were doing the video game thing. I don't see what the hoo-rah is about Renee Young. I really don't. I don't get it.
I think she's pretty, but once you start listening to her on the commentary, it kind of tails off.
Yeah, that's how. But that's Dean. Now that's Dean Ambrose's girl.
Ah, okay.
That's his woman. So I don't want to piss off Ambrose. But I like Ambrose. He's good. He's good. And he's about to go into a WWE filming a WWE film. I think you know something.
Okay.
This guy here, man. He definitely. I can see him transition over into Hollywood. I definitely can see that.
Very possible.
Yeah, he's good. And it's not like Randy Orton. You know, Randy Orton going to go over to Hollywood? Probably not.
And I want to mention here before we end, we are getting to the very end of the Hot 100 Women of Wrestling, the all-time hottest divas. And you know, as we're recording this podcast, the voting's going crazy here, Frank. I had Brooke Tessemacher was up 60-40 over Kelly. Now, as I'm recording this, it's 50-50.
Wow.
In the other poll, Mickey James for a long time was up about 3 or 4 points on Trish Stratus. Now Trish Stratus is winning 52% to 48%. So, you know, I'm probably going to have to do at some point is declare I'm going to leave these polls up for a couple more days. At a certain time, I'm going to pull them because I think both of these polls are very tight, and whoever wins these two polls will, of course, face each other. And you just have to probably put a time frame on it and say, okay, we're going to leave these up with 2 or 3 days, and at 10 p.m. at this time, I'm going to pull the polls no matter where they are. Because I think when you get down to the final four here, it's very close. And whoever ends up winning these two are going to, you know, face off. If it's, say, Kelly versus Trish Stratus, and we both have their fans. Brooke Tessemacher has her fans. Mickie James, of course, has her fans. But I don't know, Frank, just real quickly, the final four. Thoughts on the final four? Who's in the final four? And who do you see kind of emerging now from that final four?
The thing about it is that, you know, you got Kelly and you got Trish Stratus. You have Tessemacher and you have Mickie James and you have the final four here of this thing. If I had to pick one, I'm going to go with the one that I know the most and the one that made the biggest impact in my life because I watched her. I'm going to have to go with Trish Stratus.
Yep, she was my favorite before the tournament even started.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Trish. I mean, Kelly was cool, but I actually saw Kelly wrestle, so that kills her.
Well, remember though, this is the hottest women.
Oh, I understand that, but yeah. but Trish was all around. Trish could wrestle, and Trish was sexy too. So
true.
That's where I have to go with it, man. I mean, Mickey James is cool. You know, Britt Chestmaker, she was. Hey, I loved her in Aces and Eights. I don't know. She was out there kissing Billy Ray, so that kind of kills her for me. So.
Well, we'll encourage fans out there and readers, listeners, to go to girlwake.net, vote on those polls. We're going to get a winner here very, very quickly. We'll find out who is voted the all-time hottest diva. And then Frank Raven, I'm looking at this poll now, with 74%. I think he's going to make it. And we've got about 14,000 votes for Raven this month. And I know the Jackal, our good friend the Wrestling Jackal, tweeted me. I don't think I responded on the tweet. He asked me, is this a record or what's the second closest in voting? And I'd have to look back. This has certainly been a record month in terms of voting for the Hall of Fame. I guess he's kind of a polarizing character. And I think because the poll has been so close throughout the month that fans are voting yes or no either way. And it's hard to believe, man, 14,000 votes on this poll. So I think Raven's going to make it, but kind of an interesting name for the month.
Interesting name for the month simply because of what a former contributor said about Raven and his interaction with him as far as Gory.net and how Raven, you know, was a liar, pretty much. But whatever. You know, I voted how I voted. That's how it's supposed to be. You vote how you want to vote. And if people want
right,
to vote,
exactly.
If people want to put Raven in the Hall of Fame, hey, I'm not going to lose any sleep about it.
No, I'm not either. Again, you can still got time to vote if you're listening to this before the end of the month. And I also want to encourage fans at girlwick.net, as we're doing the cheap plugs here at the end, is go to the website and check out the Body Slam podcast. Our good friend Atlee Green put up a new edition last night. I had a new co-host that he was trying out as well. You can listen to his thoughts on Lesnar destroying Super Cena at SummerSlam. He's talking about the Tommy John surgery that possibly faces Daniel Bryan. He was also talking about Bully Ray leaving TNA. So if you want to get their perspective, their take on things, definitely check out the Body Slam podcast at www.gerweck.net. And as always, Frank, it's the WWE Network may be $9.99, but we charge the fans nothing to listen to our podcast.
Exactly. And that's the whole point. You know, we come out here and we do it for the fans. We come out here and do it because we love the business. We love to talk about the business, so we hope that there's a lot of, you know, people in the business that appreciate what we do, because at the end of the day, if we're not talking about you, nobody else is.
That's right. And if any of those said talent out there would like to be a part of the Girl Work Report podcast as well, suggest names for us as well. We'd love to have a guest on here that could pick our brains, or we could pick their brains and debate things. I think we had a really good debate today on Kurt Angle, the pros and cons of bringing him back to the company. We've had other debates previously. If people want to hear us talk about other issues that we've not discussed here on the podcast, we're always open to that. We try to be as interactive with the fans as we can, the listeners out there, because we do it for you guys. And as you said, we don't charge anything, and we want your feedback. We're, of course, at the Gerwick Report on Twitter. I'm on Gerwick on Twitter as well, and if I'm the real NWO, anti-NWO, Steve Gerwick on Twitter, and Frank, you're at Real Frank DEE.
That's right, at Twitter, and I usually get on there and talk about a lot of ish. So go ahead and interact with me. I'm telling you, I come up with things. I can be sitting here right now, and I can get pissed off, and I'll tweet about it.
Yeah, you have some of the more entertaining tweets. So if fans wanna. Listeners out there want to follow the co-host here on the Gerwick Report. And, of course, you know, Frank and I have been working together for, about 10 years now?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, 2004 when we were doing the Gerwick Report hotline back in the day. So, yeah, when I say you're the longtime tag team partner, you've been a longtime tag team partner.
Right, and there's been a lot of them come and a lot of them go. But Frankie has been here.
It's true. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, a lot have come and a lot have gone, and Frank D is the man on the mountain right now.
Exactly.
So continuing to ride.
Exactly.
We're on Stitcher, we're on Spreaker, we're on TuneIn, and you can download our podcast on iTunes. So a variety of ways to listen to the podcast. And as always, just go to girlwick.net, check out our audio section at the bottom, and we have tons and tons of audio for you to listen to. Our podcast, Atlee Green, and the Body Slam podcast, great interviews we've done in the past, conference calls, Vince McMahon, TNA, conference calls as well. You can check it out at girlwick.net. And as always, Frank, I've really enjoyed it, and looking forward to the next edition.
Absolutely.